We're in this precious journey of the masterpiece of grace that we find in Ephesians. And I pray you see yourself all over it. Hallelujah. Because the Lord so faithfully will put this all over in you because of us in Christ. And so we concluded last week with the purpose and the perfecting, really, of our high calling, our vocation. I thank the Lord we don't have to wonder what our purpose is in this day, in this age of our lives. It's the same, to win Christ. I thank the Lord. And it's just like all the other promises there have ever been. It's by faith, believing that that promise is yours. Thanking God that we don't look on the outward appearance, but we're confident and we believe in the grace of God dealing with the inward man. And thanking the Lord that, as the word of God says, that whom he foreknew, them he predestinated. And here we are tonight once again. The Lord has predestinated us to come into this place to hear this message, the message of full glory, the message for the bride, for the Lamb of God. And he said that he would perform it. He said that he would make it happen. Hallelujah. Make it to come forth in the thing that he has sent it. Don't doubt God. Hallelujah. Believe him. Thank the Lord for it. When he tells you, I will perform the good work which I've begun in you, believe him. Believe in the grace of God. Exclude yourself from that. Believe in the grace of God. His faithfulness. Faith in his faithfulness. Faith in his grace. Faith in him performing. Faith in his workmanship. Faith, praise God, in his love. Become as that Shulamite. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Praise the Lord. I thank God. Brothers and sisters, in this calling that we have already won his heart. He's already come with the proposal of everything. We've already won his heart. Question is, does that win yours? Amen. And as we get to know him and know his love, how could it not? Praise his wondrous name. But here is this high calling that we left off with in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm having a little trouble with my eyes tonight, so bear with me. It says there in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Oh, hallelujah. Never forget that. It's in love. Love ravishes. Love captivates. Love draws. This is not forced. This is not pushed. This is just, praise God, a fountain. It's this geyser. Hallelujah. It's a river that just flows. It's the wind. Hallelujah. As I was visiting, praise God, just moments ago. That's the Spirit. And I thank God, just absorb all of this beauty of what the Lord is speaking to us and let it speak through our lives, the truth in love. And here's what happens when we speak truth in love, when we live truth in love. We grow up into him in all things. This fullness, this completion, we're changed into him. My goodness, it's so glorious. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's us, fitly joined together, that's us, compacted, that's us, by that which every joint supply, and that's us, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And boy, are there some workings in measure in this place. Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, I would not be the man of God I am today without you. And that's the truth because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. It isn't to flatter you. It's the fact of the love of God, the dwelling in love, speaking and preaching and remaining in first love. That's the supplying. It edifies itself in love. Praise the Lord. That's why this place should always grow at an increasing rate. Amen. Thank the Lord. Don't be surprised. Expect it. Expect it. And expect great trial that'll come right along with it. But tonight, now we go on with more of who we are in this masterpiece of grace. And let's begin reading from verse 17. So take what we've already read. This is just continues. Don't try to just isolate these things. Rightfully divide the word of truth. It's beautiful. Anybody can take one thing out or this out and completely distort it. Don't do that. Take it in context, the entirety of the word of God. So as he says that we're edifying of itself in love, as we've just went through speaking truth in love, as we've just went through that we would grow up into a perfect man, into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. This is the fullness of everything. Now, the Lord's going to lay more upon us and give us more revelation. You're able to handle this and understand it in the truth and not to go back thinking of the flesh. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And I love how he brings that out, an emptiness of mind. See, man's thoughts are empty. Man's thoughts are empty holes and spaces. They can sound so good. They can sound like they've got a great depth. There's nothing there. There's nothing there but, again, man's reasoning. And remember, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. And there's nothing to be compared with what we have in this truth and what the Lord testifies to us. It goes on saying, having the understanding here. And this is their mind, the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all in cleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. See, Christ isn't that. No, not at all. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is where? In Jesus. The truth in Jesus. That ye, right? Put off, and actually that reads, that ye have put off, it's done, concerning the former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's who you are. That's what you've been given. You are fully righteous and you are fully holy. The moment you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, bam, that's what happens. Hallelujah. And it's even by faith more and more because you're looking at it and the outward appearance, well, man, I sure don't look any different. And yet we're going to try to measure it and measure it and measure it by what I perceive on the outward appearance. It will never, ever, ever happen. All change comes by faith. Faith, praise God, is this wondrous word, and the transformation is in the inner man. And the inner man grows, and the inner man grows up into him in all things. And I thank the Lord, then the inner man, by God's grace, begins to actually take reign. The Spirit begins to reign in your life, causing you to do the things that you would never do. But praise God, that old thing isn't you anymore anyway, so quit thinking about him and just stand back and watch the mighty, mighty miracle of the transformation of the Son of God come forth in your life. And that's it. Turn on over to Colossians chapter 3. Lord, help us to get this. I know there are some that still wrestle with this. Quit wrestling. Stop. All it's going to do is stunt you. That's all it will do. You will spin circles and you'll just grow more frustrated. It's just confusing your mind. Chapter 3, and let's begin reading from verse 9. And I love how it starts there. Lie not one to another. See, don't lie to each other. You know what lying in this line would be? Telling you that you need to get that flesh right. You need to start shaping up. Ten Commandment time, son. Get them out. Look at it. This is what you got to look like. So it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. It's done. And we do not go by feeling. We do not go by sight. We go by the word of God. And the word of God says, ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And what? It didn't just leave you there that you put it off and that's great. No, it's because of the transformation. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now here you go. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. We are. Praise God. We're the best of its kind. We're chosen. We are grace's choice. Isn't that beautiful? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Holy and beloved. That's what he's calling us. Praise God. Bowels of mercy. Isn't that something? Oh, I thought we were supposed to put on a big old, you know, a big old club latched on here. Going around and smacking and telling you you're not doing things right. You need to shape it up. You need to get after this and this and this. No. The very first thing, if you really want to go on with the Lord and grow up in him, get some mercy. Bowels of it. Speaks of fruit. You want to be fruitful? Be merciful. But you'll never be merciful until you recognize what a vessel of mercy you are, that you did not deserve a thing. That you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And thanking God that he gave his son so freely. Not just to save us, that's the beginning. He gave him to give us everything. And he gave of himself, praise God, to receive everything in a bride, hallelujah, that would complete him. What a story, what a plan. And that is our plan with our beloved Savior and bridegroom-to-be. So we put on, beloved, bowels of mercy. Listen to these things we're to put on. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It should not be hard to find. This should not be hard to find. Not haughty and proud and condescending and cold and offended and blah, blah, and blah, blah. Look at this. Look at Jesus, because this is what you're looking at here. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Oh, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Isn't that glorious? Oh, I know we go in there and say, well, you know, I've gone to them and I've tried to do this and they wouldn't do. Get over yourself. That's one of the most disgusting things. You want to be spiritual? Here it is. Get over yourself. You want to forgive? You want to quit talking about forgiveness? Just receive what Christ did for you and forgive as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Thank you, Jesus. And above all these things, put on love. Put on God's love. Above all of this beautiful, the bowels of mercy and all of these things, but above all that, the love of Christ. What a lover, which is the bond of perfectness. It's spiritual perfection. Love is the completeness of it all. Hallelujah. That's why we just came out of there in Ephesians, that we would know the love of Christ and know it completely, every bit of it, because he wants us complete. And I thank the Lord we can know truth and know the bridal message and we can know the arrangement of the ages and we can know all these things. And by the grace of God, we should know them. They're ours. We're walking into it. It's our inheritance. He's given it to us to know. And that all is the love of God. And that's his great love for us. I get that. But don't miss the love. As you begin to get more of that wonderful wisdom and knowledge and all of those things. Understand what it's wrapped in. It's his grace, it's his mercy, it's this love. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to really lay hold. So it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So I go right over to Romans 5:5. It's the Holy Ghost that sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. See how much we need the Holy Ghost? See how much, and I thank the Lord for years and years in this place, as Brother Hill would always encourage us, stir it up. Don't grow cold, saints. Come, worship, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, don't delay. Don't pass it by. You need it, and the Lord loves it. Praise his name. And let the peace of God, so all of this that's flooded you, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Wow. Isn't this glorious? See, it's this gentleness, it's this meekness, it's all this love, and this is who we are, because we have put off the old man. I'm not trying to put him off. I'm brand new. You're brand new. Brand new. Brand new. All things have been made new. Oh, hallelujah. And it's his life. I have the newness of life that I walk in because I have the new man in me. And what? And it's just so glorious. See, that's when peace rules your heart and reigns in your mind. Because love is there. You're never more at peace than when you're in love. You know that. I always joke about it. You know, these kids come in, they want to get married and all of this. Man, what do we need money for? What do we need to even a place to stay? Who needs that? You sit there and you laugh, but that's what love does. Love is happy. It's thankful. It doesn't matter what's coming. I'm in love. And I've got my lover with me. So what else do I need? And see, this is the lover that supplies all my needs. See, he's the beyond one. And he's got all the plans. I don't even have to plan. I love it. He carries me along. We're going to talk about a walk tonight. You just need to get carried. Get carried, you know, carried over the threshold, carried. I can't do anything. How about you? Oh, that's just nonsense, brother. That's why you don't have peace. That's why you're going to wrestle with my life too. I'm not going to wrestle. I ain't going to quarrel with you. And I don't even feel bad for you. You can be a knucklehead all you want. But we're called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at that. You'd say richly in wisdom and all, we're going to sit down. We're really going to come to terms right now. No, we're going to break out in singing, and we're going to have hymns, and we're just going to have grace in our hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, it is so, so glorious, is it not, brothers and sisters? Now, as we turn into this tonight, let's go back to Ephesians and we'll finish up our reading here in verse 25. So with what we've just read, we know that we have put off. It's just so clear. So let's not wrestle with it anymore. You know you're holy, you're righteous. So wherefore, put away the lying. And we understood what the lying was. The lying was that somehow, some way, that we aren't new. That's the lie. That's the lie. So don't live the lie. Don't live by sight. You heard me say many times, Brother John Hill coming in there many different times and ways and all that, just so happy in the Lord. He said, you know, brother, I've done this and this and this, but that's not me. Oh, he was so happy about it. It's not me. I just stood there in the glory. Now, that doesn't mean that we sin willfully that grace may abound, but you have to know who you are in Christ. That inner man, and that's your life. That's when the change occurs. That's when the transformation happens, because that's what happens when thankfulness reigns. When you're thankful and quit of yourself and quit of everybody else's self. Because you're just tangled in so much self, you're a mess. Stop. Stop. Wherefore, put it away, lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. How could we be in the same body, but we're different? You see? We're in his body, one body. And he's got a holy and a righteous body. You know that, right? Okay. Praise God. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole no more. Don't even acknowledge that. Let God deal with him. Christians spend way too much time talking about, conversing with. I understand who Satan is. I know he's the devil. And I know, praise God, my Lord made him. And I know what he made that tempter for, exactly that. And he's going to be used. He's a tool. He is a tool of our God for us. For us. Everything was made for us, created for us. Time, all those things. We've studied this. Just take it and rest. Praise God. He has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. It's all lined up. Turn off your TVs. Quit thinking about politics. Quit thinking about, oh, this guy's doing that and this and all. There be no powers that be but of him. He puts up whom he will. He puts down whom he will. He has the hearts of the kings in his hand. And it says that he moves them just like he does rivers. I want to believe the Lord. There isn't anything better. You say, oh, that's just too good to be true. It is. That's who Jesus is. That's why he's God. It's so fabulous. Oh, thank God for him. Gives us peace and rest. We don't want it, but he gives it. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. By the grace of God, you know what? He's using me tonight to give to you what you need, grace. And I work with my hands. I can turn a page. Read some more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Grace is pure. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Love. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Isn't that beautiful? The edifying, that it may minister grace. Minister grace unto the hearers. Not condemnation. Not judgment. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, that Holy Spirit, that love shed abroad, he just wants more love. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. How much? I'm going to ask you again, how much? How much? All bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That was no deal in that bargaining. He just forgave me. There is no contingencies. I believed on him. Hallelujah. And he forgave me. Forever. Never to be remembered again either. Not forgiving and looking at myself and saying, oh, I'm such a good guy because I forgave you. Now, I forgave you, but I'm coming to you so you can tell me that you're sorry, because you need to. Oh, God. We are so messed up. But what happens is we get puffed up. We think we're spiritual when we're not. Don't be that way. All right, so we go back And it's so beautiful. But this is speaking about, yes, the walk. But it's very obvious the walk is in the new man. The walk is in grace. The walk is in the newness of life. The walk is in that we are holy and we are righteous. Praise the Lord. It's believing, praise God, of who we are in Christ and not going by sight and not going by feeling. All right? This is speaking of, as we got right into this, the one who is perfect, complete, to the measure, the stature, and the fullness of God. You have to understand the two natures or you'll never grow up. And even once you understand the two natures, you have to believe in the new nature. You can understand it, you can say you get it, and you can explain it, but do you live it? Or are you still living in judgment and still living in fear and still living in confusion and those types of things? And you can be the judge of that before the Lord, because it's very obvious. We know. So what happens is I found that most people that are concerned so much with their walk have the hardest time walking. And they have the hardest time living the love of God in their life because they're so focused on themselves, on their walk, how they look, how they act, and how others should walk. Completely obsessed with the outward appearance than being concerned and caring for the growth of the inner man. And how did the growth of the inner man? Edifying one another in love. Edifying, as we read, and supplying and encouraging in the grace of God. Praise the Lord. That must be that stuff that's called the word of his grace that builds us up, that gives us inheritance among all them that are sanctified. No wonder the Apostle Paul, that's all he preached. Thank you, Lord. But it's the growth of the inner man. And that's what we need to be concerned with, because only the inner man can grow up into Christ in all things. This flesh will never grow up into Christ in all things. This flesh will never be changed from glory to glory into the image of him. It's the new man. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yes, it is. So, first off, I'm going to ask you something, which you already know. I know this. How do you walk? You walk by faith. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7, all right? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, all right? And then, how does faith come? Tells us in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, thank the Lord we have that. So then for us, in this place, by God's grace, because the completeness of the word and the depth of the word is in this place, because of by the grace of God, the fullness of the gospel is in this place, and there is nothing withheld in this place, we should then be the people with the greatest faith in this place. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How much of the word of God do you hear in this place? All the word of God, the whole counsel of God. And it's not to magnify pastors, teachers, preachers, anything. It's to magnify the grace of God. Amen. Magnify the grace of God. This is his will. This is his purpose. This is his doing. So in that, we should have the greatest of faith in this place because of the word that's preached in this place. So in that, if you walk by faith, we should have the most glorious walk there could ever be. And I see glory walking in here all the time. But it just depends what eyes you want to have. Because glory walking doesn't look like what man thinks glory should look like walking. See, the glory to the Lord was the woman at his feet that everybody else said, you wouldn't let that woman touch you. But that was his glory. The glory was sitting over there at the well, the Samaritan that nobody wanted to be around, and the disciples wouldn't even go near. But he was drawn to glory, that inner one. He knows what he's dealing with. This is why he's dealing with you. He knows you. He fell in love with you before time. Yes, he did. He's told us that. In love. He saw us in love, in love, in love. Not just he saw us in love. Thank you, Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, our walk is as we started in Ephesians 4:1. This is our walk, praise God. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, Our walk is the chosen for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our walk. And matter of fact, that walk we can say is, I press toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's running that race. It's that purpose of one thing, to win Christ. Now, our walk, praise God, in that chosen of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I want you just to turn the page over to chapter 5, verse 2, and here's what that walk looks like. Here's what that walk continues in, and here's what that walk concludes in. It says, and walk, what? In love. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. We're back to in love, always in love. If you want this, it's in love. As Christ hath loved us, unconditionally. Over the top, incredibly, amazingly, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. See, that was that altar of incense that was right there before the curtain that took you into the Holy of Holies. That's what was smoking up in there, and that's what was taken in. Praise the Lord. Glorious, brothers and sisters, absolutely glorious. May we never forget, it's a walk in love for the ones that remain and stay in first love. They don't drift in and out. They don't leave that first love, they stay in it. Now, moreover, with this grace, we now know, brothers and sisters, what has been given to us in the first four chapters of Ephesians. We know that as the Lord concludes this up, it's about bridal fellowship. It's exactly what it is. The Word of God says that we comprehend His love together, that we edify in this love, that we edify to build this wondrous body up together. It's glorious, and the Lord uses us in that way. We understand He's all the supplying. But by His grace, He uses us. We're needful to Him. That's the wonder about the word vessel. It means adding to the usefulness of the husband. We add to the usefulness of the husband. The bride, hallelujah, needs the bride to develop. The bride needs the bride, praise God, to continue to increase. That's why we gather the much the more as we see that day approaching, and don't forsake that. And you need that like faith fellowship. You need the fellowship of strong meat. And without it, you will not fully grow. You will not fully develop. The Apostle Paul showed us this. He was the one that was given this mystery. He was the one that was given this message. He knew it beyond anybody else. But in knowing it beyond anybody else, he knew he needed to have ones minister to him that. He needed that love to be reciprocated from those that had that love. So there he was in that prison. And it wasn't that he was writing letters saying, oh, I'm just fine and I'm all great. And you know what? I just know everything and I've got it. And I was the one who brought this out. And I'm so high and mighty in my knowledge of the Lord that I don't need anybody. And I'm just going to go see my bridegroom Jesus. He never said that. You know what he said? He said, come to me. I want you to minister me. Bring me Mark. Come on, Timothy. I got Luke. Hallelujah. All this precious encouragement. He wanted even the more of it. He wanted that fellowship. It wasn't about getting out. It was about receiving that in. And to have that fellowship, it didn't matter where it was, but he knew he needed it. And by the grace of God, it was evident in him. So here we are walking in love, and here we are, my goodness, speaking truth in love. Isn't he glorious? So we walk in love, we're speaking truth in love, and it's all to grow up fully. It's a perfect plan what God has laid out for us to grow up fully. And this is what it is. And the Lord help us just to desire it. Isn't it wonderful when you're really in love? You don't want to bicker. You don't want to argue. You just want to love. You just want to be with one another and have a good time. And that's the problem a lot of times is, you know, you get married because you're in love. And then you're in a marriage, and then you almost have to fight to stay in love. And the reason is because so many other things get involved. You get cumbered down. And as I tell these young people coming in, you didn't get married to buy a house. You didn't get married to get a car payment. You didn't get married to have a bunch of things. You got married because you couldn't stay away from one another. You had to live together. You had to occupy with one another. There wasn't anybody else you're going to be with. And you wanted to be with them moment by moment. This is our Savior. This is our bridegroom, Jesus. This is what he does. So we grow up fully because of this love. And in that, I love how the commandment, the only commandment he left us, was that you love one another. Isn't that glorious? Edifying the body in love. Turn on over to Galatians 5. Got to move. I don't want to exhaust you for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I'll tell you what, if he's going to love on us like this tonight, I'm going to let him. How about you? All right, Galatians chapter 5. Let's begin reading from verse 13. Think about what we're reading here. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Isn't that glorious? We have been called unto liberty. Whom he has made free is free indeed. You're free. Called unto liberty. We are under grace. Hallelujah. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's the key. And that's the key to really knowing if you're motivated by flesh or if you're motivated by the Spirit. And I'm talking about the deeds of your life. You can get a script and you can try to live right down the line to it. And you might be pretty disciplined. But boy, will you miss it all. Or by the grace of God, can you grow in the love of Christ? And that causes you to act different. It causes you to move different. It causes you to treat people different. It causes you to look at everything different. Because it's the love of God. And this is what this is saying. Really let this absorb into you. Brethren, ye have been called into liberty. We have this grace. Only use not this liberty, this freedom, for an occasion of the flesh. It didn't just go period. It's a comma. But by love, serve one another. That's what it is. I'm not trying to do good so you can use me as a benchmark to say, yeah, I want to live like that guy. No, by the grace of God, I love you. I don't want to hurt you. I know I'm free. I know I can't even commit sin. I know I'm born of God. I know I'm forgiven. I know that's not me. But I don't want to hurt you. That's Christ. That's Christ. That's what that is. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Listen to that. All the law, all the ordinances, everything, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What do you think the Lord wants? What do you think completes and finishes? What do you think the walk is? What is this? All this forgiveness and love. And yes, it lists out all those things to flee from. Don't let that be named of you, all of those things. But why? Is it to magnify you? Is it to magnify your flesh? Was it to make you more worthy? It's because of love. It's the proof of love. Amen. And we grow in love. And then when that happens to us, when somebody does make a mistake, which we all do, and fail, and operate out of love, what are we supposed to do? Hammer them? Forgive them. And how? As Christ forgave you, and you, and you, and me. So that's to have not even a memory of it. Oh, I remember what you did. And I'm just going to chalk it right here, and I'm never going to forget it. Even though I've forgiven you, I'm not going to forget it. Well, what kind of forgiving is that? That's not forgiveness. There's one forgiveness, and that's his forgiveness. It's his. And it doesn't remember. And I challenge you, saints. I know we remember some very hurtful things, but how many have you forgotten? Or do you still look at that person when they walk by? Ah, that's what I remember. You know, that's why I don't go to Living Waters. That's why I don't do that. I can't see those people. Oh my goodness. I come here because I see my bridegroom. And I hear him because that's what's preached. And then I see him in those that receive it because this is the bridegroom's body. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We've been through this stuff. We've experienced this. We've experienced this as a meeting. God help us to stand in love to fight against this. Now let's move on. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, praise the Lord. That's why we need to go back to Romans 8, but not right now, but no Romans 8, would you please? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Just walk. Quit thinking. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Here we go. But if ye be led of the Spirit, what? Ye are not under the law. Amen. There's two real powerful things in that. Is any child of God under the law? Is any child of God under the law? I better hear a big no. No, we are under grace. We're under grace, under grace, under grace, under grace. And I thank the Lord that we are under grace. We're free. So praise the Lord. I thank God. I can have it minister to my heart that I'm not under the law. I'm led of the Spirit. But what happens if I put myself in my thinking under the law? I'm not going to move in the love of Christ. And that's who the Spirit is. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. We're going to go to that verse, God willing, tonight. And it's in love. It's in meekness. It's not in hammering. It's not in a finger in your face. Lord, chasten all of us with this. Chasten us, Lord Jesus. So, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Listen to it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? This is the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in times past, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we could go through this list, and then there's a thing called anything of a lie. All right? Now, I don't want to see a show of hands, but I'm confident that if we're talking on a natural basis, we're all throwing up our hands here and saying, well, that's me. That's what you would say. But wait a second. I thought that a child of God is an heir of God. Matter of fact, I know it is, because that's what the Bible tells me. So a child of God does inherit the kingdom of God. Well, yes, it does. So then you're not that, are you? And we know we're not that because why? Because we've already been told we have put off. So that's not you. We don't need to address the lie to somehow try to put that on you, even though that might be fooling you. But as John Hill said, that's not me. Which mind are you going to think with? The mind of confusion and chaos? A mind that's messed up? Or the mind that stayed in that perfect peace? It's pretty clear. It's not just pretty clear. It's evident. But the fruit of the Spirit, and that's why I love how the Lord, he does. He says, okay, this is what it is. We know we're not that. But here's who we are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Are you Christ's?
Hallelujah.
Are you bought with the precious blood of Jesus?
Amen.
Then I'll tell you what, all that has been crucified. Hallelujah with him. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Christians do live in the Spirit, so now love and let fruit come forth.
Amen?
Amen. Isn't that who we are? Isn't that what we have? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. He just keeps giving us more and more love. More and more love, more and more love, more and more love. So what the conclusion is, brothers and sisters, be who you are in Christ. We don't need to try. We need to believe. We don't need to try. We need to believe. To believe, praise God, you need to know who you are in Christ. Quit speaking the lie. Quit thinking that you're this or that and this bad and that. You're not. You're holy and righteous. And then what will happen, you will walk in the fullness of the grace of God that is with you. You'll walk in the fullness of the love of God that covers you. You will be a happy wife. He's not going to have an unhappy wife. I promise you that. The heart of the husband trusts in her, rests in her. She's not a mess. She's not. Not when it comes to his love and his grace. And she rests, and she rests for her brother and sister, and she rests for herself. She brings that food to the family. She brings that calmness to the house. So brothers and sisters, we need to get our eyes off our outward appearance. The Shulamite had her eyes on how she looked. And she missed the coming of the Lord. She missed it at that moment. He was there, and she missed it. Because she was caught up on the outward appearance. It's all about grace. It's always been about grace. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. If you want change, the change happens inward. It happens one way. It's by grace, and it's not by works. Change comes by growing in the knowledge of his love for you, because then you see it, you're thankful to it, you yield to it, and you change. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, as we conclude this, brothers and sisters, truly understand and believe it's the new man, it's the new life, it's the liberty and the grace. I want you to turn to Galatians 6:1. Actually, you're right there. You should be. Had some other things I wanted to tell you, but we'll do that another day. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm going to tell you a quick testimony. I have been corrected in my Christian life by some Christians, usually and always an elder to me. I really believe I can say all but one never came to me in meekness. They came to me in anger, and they're hostile, and they never considered themselves, lest they would be tempted. When we have an encouragement ever to correct, if we have malice, anger, bitterness, offense, in any way, shape, or form, stop. Don't correct a thing. You won't. All you're going to do is hurt yourself, and you're going to hurt the person that you're trying to correct. And I have to tell you, I was very hurt each and every time. I thank God for the gentle hand that had corrected me in my life a few times. Now, brothers and sisters, don't be a disgrace as a Christian. Don't. That's a disgrace. That life will not win in that state. If you don't have perfect love, you won't win. The winner is faith in love. The winner is truth in love. Without full love, brothers and sisters, we miss it. The Word of God tells us without love, no matter if you have all the faith to move mountains, no matter if you know all mysteries, no matter how giving a heart you have, if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. And I thank the Lord, by the grace of God, the truth is in here. Amen, the truth is here. But I encourage you, don't miss the love. Don't miss the love in it, or you miss it all. We'll finish up with Galatians 15 and 16. And that's chapter 6, 15 and 16. You didn't realize that Galatians had so much good encouragement, maybe, did you? Man, how can we understand Ephesians? I guess you have to go to Galatians to understand Ephesians too. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So anything on the outward appearance is what it's telling you. Means nothing. Zero. And what means everything? A new creature. The new creation. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is everything. And as many as walk according to this rule, the new man, the grace man, the mercy man, the love man. What? Peace. Peace be on them. And mercy. You want to have evidence of mercy pouring forth, brothers and sisters, and upon the Israel of God. And once again, that means those are the ones that overcome. Those are the ones that prevail. And you know what? I'm thankful to God. And I know it's His work. But I see a lot of peace in here. And I see a lot of wonderful overcoming in here. Let's remain in love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Appreciate you. He put a love of the truth in your life. And it's truth in love. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.